Well, I want to thank all of you for being here this evening. What a joy and privilege it is for us to be able to gather together again to spend time in study of God's Word and to sing these songs of praise to the Almighty God. If you're visiting with us tonight, thank you for your presence. We want to welcome you this evening to our service. And I want to invite you to go ahead and take your Bibles out and open them to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to read through this particular passage of Scripture. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but we are going to read a large section of it, a segment of it. And I want us to make some applications about this particular chapter and some of these particular verses tonight. Maybe there'll be some things that you'll want to carry with you, that you'll think about, that you'll consider that'll be helpful to you. You know, before we read that, I want to talk a little bit about benefit packages. You know how there are a lot of jobs that people will take. They'll go in, they'll interview for the job, they'll talk about compensation, they'll ask about benefit packages, and they'll talk about what's going to be given to them as a result for being employed at that particular company. Some people get great benefit packages. There is some great benefit in working for that company. And I hear people a lot of times say that. They'll tell me, man, I love the company that I work for because they are so good to their employees. They have provided us with such a wonderful benefit package. There are some people who receive a benefit package to not do their job. Just recently, a head coach in college football got asked not to do his job anymore, and they're going to pay him almost $17 million over the next 3 years to not do it. I'd like to know what kind of collection we could get tonight for me not to preach. Anything? Huh? Yeah, I know y'all, that's right. You get a benefit package. There's some benefits, right, for working with certain employers. And I want us to talk a little bit tonight. And when we look at John chapter 15 and we consider several passages of Scripture here, I want us to look at the blessing of abiding in Christ. What benefits we get from abiding in Christ. Now, maybe I should have told you there's 7 points to this lesson before I ask you how much it would take for me not to preach. But there are going to be 7 of these points, and we'll go through these briefly this evening. Let's look, though, to begin with at our reading. Beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I want you to think about that. For a moment, let those passages of Scripture sink in. You know, in our Sunday morning Bible class, we have been dealing with this subject quite a bit over the last few weeks, talking about how we can abide in Christ. And the one that abides in Christ is the one that will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came in the flesh. And it's someone who will love his brother. Love one another. That's what 1 John is talking about. He's telling us to abide in God. And it's in loving one another and in confessing that Jesus is the Son of God that the love of God is perfected in us. But tonight as we look here at John chapter 15, I want to share with you a couple of things I want us to look at what abiding in Christ will do for us. So if I abide in the vine, Christ, then I will escape the vengeance of God. I'll escape the vengeance of God. I want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture again from this text. Go to verse 2 again. He says, anyone that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. You go down to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and it withers, and the branches are gathered and they're thrown into the fire and burned. He's saying, if you're not going to abide in me, you are going to face the vengeance of God one day. And so one of the benefits of abiding in that vine, abiding in Christ, is that we escape the vengeance of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. When we go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, there he talks about inflaming fire taking vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are going to be what? They are going to be destroyed. There's going to be eternal fire for them awaiting them. They're going to be given to destruction at his coming. And so if we abide in that vine, here Jesus is saying, you can escape the vengeance of God. You know, it may be that there's somebody that you're very afraid of. I don't know. I remember Dad telling a story when he was a little boy. They used to have recess when he was a kid at school. And you used to actually go outside. Dad tells some pretty wild stories about that in high school. He said they basically just had an area over there where everybody could go smoke. He said he didn't do that, but there were people that did that, and he was in the second grade. I'm kidding. They took recess. Dad said at recess when he was in elementary school, he said they would always wrestle with one another. And he said, I could whip every boy out there in wrestling except for one. And he said, when that guy came looking for me, I went and jumped rope with the girls. He said he was afraid of that guy. He said, not that guy. I'll wrestle everybody except that person. Maybe there's somebody in life that you've been afraid of, that you just don't want to feel their wrath. You don't want their vengeance to come upon you. He said, you know what? I would never want to make that individual angry. Never want to make that individual angry. But you think about that when you think about vengeance of God. And he says, inflaming fire taking vengeance. You think about the wrath of God being poured out upon those people who have, for all of these years, counted the death of his son as nothing, as worthless. Let me tell you, abiding in the vine, you'll escape the vengeance of God. Number two, if you abide in the vine, then you will experience the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Go to John chapter 15, verse 2 again. He says, if you do not bear fruit, he takes you away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You think you're good now? He can make you better. He can make you better. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Here Paul, writing to Timothy, makes this statement. He said, the sacred writings or scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. They'll make you better. They'll make you smarter. You can experience the wisdom of God. He'll prune you and he'll make you better than you were before if you'll bear fruit in him. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me. They testify of me. They're going to give you information. We talked this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1, how that we can gain that knowledge that all things that pertain to life and godliness come to us through a knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you abide in him, he's going to make you more intelligent. He's going to help you have more wisdom. You're going to understand things better. What a benefit. If we abide in the vine, we experience the wisdom of God. Number three, if you abide in the vine, then you will enjoy the validation of God. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. If you abide in that vine and you are bearing fruit and Jesus pruning you and you're bearing more fruit and you are growing and you are getting better, then you are demonstrating that you are His disciple. There is validation in that. In Matthew chapter 25, 21 to 23 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And then Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, "Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Abiding in Christ will help us to enjoy the validation of God. He will recognize us as His disciples. We're His people. And don't we like to get validation at times? Don't we like for people to say, "You did a good job"? We like a pat on the back every once in a while. Not necessarily because we need to be lifted up with pride or that we want to get the big head, but it just is nice for people to mention that they have seen that you've done something and they appreciate what it is that you're doing. We like that validation. Can you imagine what it's going to be like the day that we're validated by God and you hear those words from the Creator of the universe, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Enter into the joy of the Lord. Can't imagine what that is going to be like. Next, if I abide in the vine, then I will encourage the glorification of God. You see, I'm not living here to put Chris Prestle on a pedestal, or you're not living here to put yourself on a pedestal. We're here to put God on this pedestal. And if we will abide in that vine, that's exactly what we'll do. We will glorify God. We'll send a message to the world that there is nobody like our God. And that everybody in this world ought to turn their attentions towards Him and live by His word, be guided by His precepts. I'll encourage the glorification of God. Look at verse 8 again here. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, "Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God." In Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11, he says, "Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I've got a purpose here. My purpose is to help everyone else see our Father. Now, I recognize that sometimes I don't do a very good job of that, and maybe you don't do a very good job of that either, but that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be letting the world see God through us. That's when we talk about passages of Scripture like we mentioned a few moments ago in 1 John about how the love of God is perfected in us. When people see us being dedicated and committed to Jesus Christ, and when they see us loving our brother like we ought to love our brother, as Jesus loved us, love one another like that. When they see that example, then God gets the glory. He gets the glory. I think about these passages of Scripture. I think about how that if I'll abide in the vine, it will encourage the glorification of God. Next, if I abide in the vine, then I will embrace the love of God. Listen to verse 10. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." You see, God loves us. I think we all are aware of that, but we abide in His love when we continue to abide in that vine. If we turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, we notice verses 18 and 19. Actually, I think we probably need to start in verse 17. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Over in John chapter 17, verse 26, as Jesus is here with His followers before He would be arrested and crucified, He says this, "I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." Jesus speaking to His Father in that high priestly prayer about His disciples. We can embrace the love of God. We have that love of God. He is showering us with it if we'll abide in that vine. And then we can enter the joy of God. In John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Isn't it wonderful to be able to think about living a life full of joy? You know, there's a lot of people that are walking around this world and their life is anything but joyful. You can read it on their faces. You can see it. But if we're abiding in Christ, if we're living as a Christian, Liz, that doesn't mean that we're not going to face struggles or hardships or persecution. But I will tell you this, the joy of the Lord will reside in us. That's what Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." Enter the joy of God. How wonderful that is. To be able to have minds that are full of joy. And not be crushed with the burdens and the thoughts and the things that this world has to deal with. Yeah, we talk a lot about this. We talk about people in this world that, well, they think that they're free, but they're living in sin and all of the burdens and the problems that exist as a result of the sin. And they have to bear that. And I'm certain that it weighs on their minds. I think that's why when we look around in this world, we find more and more people that seem to be less contented. And they've lost that joy. What a blessing it is to be a Christian, to abide in the vine, and to have the joy of God. And then, finally, tonight, if I abide in the vine, then I will encounter the friendship of God. What does He say here in verse 14? "You are my friends if you do what I command you." You know, we sing a song, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus." No, not one. No, not one. We don't have a friend like Jesus in this world. There's nobody like Him. You get to encounter that friendship. You have access to that friendship if you abide in that vine. You know, you think about the benefit packages that people receive, and we can look at those and maybe our eyes will widen and we'll, wow, can you imagine that? Folks, think about this. Let it sink in to you and come to terms with and realize what a blessing it is to abide in Christ and to be a Christian. All of these things are available to you. You know, this morning in our lesson, we talked about make it happen. Just make it happen. These benefits, these blessings, these things are offered to each and every individual that's here tonight. You can have them. They're yours for the taking if you want them. If you'll make it happen. Abide in Christ. It may be that you're not a Christian. It may be that you are not in the fold of God and you need to make that decision tonight to become a Christian. And so this evening, if you've not repented of your sins and confessed that Jesus is the Son of God and been baptized to wash away those sins, we beg and plead with you to make that decision tonight. And if it's the case that you've not been bearing fruit for God, won't you make a change? Won't you let Him graft you back in? Won't you start bearing fruit for Him? and then receive the benefits of the blessings of being a child of His. If you need to respond to the invitation this evening, we beg and plead with you to do so while we stand and sing.